ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। अथ भक्तियोगो नाम द्वादशोऽध्यायः। अर्जुन उवाच एवं सततयुक्ता ये भक्तास्त्वां पर्युपासते ये चाप्यक्षरमो यक्तम् तेषां के योगवित्तमाः। श्रीभगवानुवाच मय्यावेश्यमनो ये मां नित्ययुक्तावुपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेताः ते मे युक्ततमामताः। So to remember, Bhakti Yoga is a name given to all the threefold disciplines prescribed in the entire Veda Shastram in terms of Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Karma, Upasanam and Jnanam are the three main topics discussed in the entire Veda Shastram. And those three topics, those three factors, three aspects in terms of Karma, Upasanam and Jnanam can be known as Yogaha disciplines. If we bring Ishwaraha Bhagavan as an ultimate goal, the performance of actions is ultimately to discover Bhagavan, the Ishwara, the Lord. The practice of meditation is ultimately is for discovering Bhagavan, the Lord. Even the pursuit of knowledge is ultimately for knowing the Bhagavan in terms of the absolute reality, the reality of the entire universe. Then we can call this Karma, Upasanam and Jnanam as disciplines, as yogaha. So the karma can be called karma yogaha, upasanam can be called upasana yogaha, and jnanam can be jnana yogaha. So threefold disciplines. And those threefold disciplines together are known by one word, bhakti yogaha. So with this understanding, we are starting our 12th chapter today. As I said, in the very first question, Arjuna, very first verse, Arjuna presents his question. There are two types of upasakas, worshippers of the Lord. Worship in the form of meditation upon the Ishvara. So Saguna Brahma Upasanam is there. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam also is there. Worshipping the Lord in the form of meditating upon the Lord with the attributes and worshipping the Lord as the very reality of the universe. So meditation upon the Lord is looked upon here as the worship. Worship is the name given to the meditation upon the Lord. If you worship, meditate upon, if you look at the whole universe as Ishvara, the whole universe as the embodiment of the Lord, and meditate upon the Lord as the universe, in the form of the universe, it is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Instead, you invoke, meditate upon the very nature of the reality. And seeing that reality, reading the Lord as the very reality of the universe, it is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, wherein you see the reality, Lord as the reality, you see the Lord without the attributes. Now these two types of upasanams, which is the more exalted, which is superior? Instead of asking the question about the upasanam, he is asking about the upasakas. Which upasakas are superior? Which upasakas are the greatest? Which upasakas are the more exalted, most exalted? Ke yogavittamaha, ke upasakaha. No, yogavittamaha. Ye bhaktaha, satata yuktaha tvam paryupasate. Always with focused attention, without any deviation and distraction, people meditate upon you in the form of the universe. There are also people who meditate upon your own imperceptible, unobjectifiable very nature, obtaining the reality of the universe as their own sarupam. They also meditate upon you. Of those people, who are the exalted people, who are superior? Is the question. And Krishna want to make it very clear. The choice is not there between Saguna Brahma Upasanam and Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. There's no choice between the two. Why there's no choice? Because both are required. And comparison also is not possible. You cannot compare one with the other when both are required. If the choice is there, then comparison is possible. Between them, there is no choice. Both are required for people of different levels. For the one who is not it, for those devotees who are not it, ready for, qualified for, dwelling upon the very abstract nature of the reality, they were to meditate upon the Lord in the form of the universe. So people who are ready for this dwelling upon the nature of the reality, they can dwell upon the nature of the reality. Therefore, the choice is not there. Therefore, comparison also is not possible. Yes, they explain to you very clearly that. Krishna makes it very clear. The second verse he says, he talks about the Saguna Brahma Upasakas in the Krishna glorifies, praises the Saguna Brahma Upasakas in the second verse. And he mentions, Te me yukta tamaha mataha. Te means those people. Te means those people, those meditators. Yukta tamaha mataha. In my vision, they are considered to be the dearest to me. They are the dearest to me. Who? Why? Because they have tremendous amount of Shraddha, the great unflinching Shraddha in their worship. In which form of worship? Worship in the form of meditation upon Ishvara in the form of the universe. Therefore, Mayeva Manaha Aveshya, Mayi Manaha Aveshya, Nitya Yuktaha Ye Mam Upasate. So having placed their attention of the mind in me, the Lord, obtaining in the form of the whole cosmos, Nitya Yuktaha, ever remaining, ever focused, without any distraction, with a great faith, those who meditate upon me, the worship me in the form of meditation, dwelling upon me, those people are dearest to me, which means Saguna Brahma Upasanam is not something unwanted, is very, very important one. But Saguna Brahma Upasanam will not free one from bondage, even though it is a very beautiful, wonderful meditation, still it will not free one from bondage. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, we meditate upon Ishvara as the whole. Ishvara in the form of the universe. You see the whole universe as Bhagavan's form. Universe as the embodiment of Bhagavan. But still, there you do not see yourself being, your real Swarupam being identical with Bhagavan. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, even though you see yourself being part of the whole, the cosmos, you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole, still you have not yet resolved the duality, division between you and Ishvara from the standpoint of the very reality. Essentially, you do not see how you are non-separate from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is non-separate from you. How you are one with Ishvara, Bhagavan. That Advaita Darshanam is not possible even in Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Even if you see Bhagavan as the whole. And still Ajnanam continues to be there. Even though you are seeing everything as Bhagavan, you see yourself also as Bhagavan. Still, you are not seeing yourself being Bhagavan. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. You see yourself as Bhagavan. You see everything as Bhagavan. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, you see everything as Bhagavan. You see yourself as Bhagavan. But you do not see how everything is Bhagavan. Got the point? I look at everything as Bhagavan. I do not see everything is Bhagavan. Therefore, there's still duality is there, division is there, there's still ignorance of the self is there, which means there is no clear vision of one's own self being the very reality, which is the Swarupam of the whole, which is Bhagavan. No. One's self being the very reality, the Swarupam of Bhagavan, the whole. They were the fundamental human problem is not resolved there. There is bondage. The fundamental human problem, the sense of limitation, sense of inadequacy, hatred on I is not resolved. Therefore, still there is no moksha. Even if there is a relative relief, there is some relief, but definitely there is no moksha there. Certain degree of relief is there, but still there is no real moksha, because still ajnanam is there.
Swamiji, can you once again say, I look on everything as Bhagwan, but do not look everything
is Bhagwan. Yeah. Suppose, that is in Saguna Brahma Upasanam, I look at everything as Bhagwan. I have an understanding. How do we have the understanding? Because in the 6th, 7th chapter, 8th chapter, 9th chapter, 10th chapter, 11th chapter, in all these chapters, we understood repeatedly one fact. What is that fact? The whole universe cannot exist independently because it's dependent on its cause. Look at Bhagwan as the Jagat Karanam. All these chapters reveal this fact. They present Bhagwan as the cause of the universe. Why do you look at Bhagwan as the cause of the universe? Because Bhagwan is essentially the very reality. There's no Ishvara Bhagwan other than the reality. And without that reality, the universe cannot exist independently. It's because of the existence of the reality is the existence of the universe. Therefore, we look at the reality as the cause of the universe. Generally, we understand the cause-effect system. Any effect can exist only if there is a cause. So, existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Without the cause, effect cannot exist independently. Look at this. An effect cannot exist independently without the blessing of the cause in the form of the very presence. Existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Therefore, we look at here, existence of the reality is the existence of the universe. Therefore, from the standpoint of the universe, which is dependent on the very existence of the reality, we look at the reality as the cause of the universe. Reality is as good as the cause and the universe is as good as the effect, because existence of the universe is dependent on the existence of the reality. Therefore, when you look at the reality as the cause of the universe, you give the name, the status Ishvara. Ishvaraha Bhagavan is a qualification. Ishvaraha means the Lord. The Lordship is attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the universe. Why do you call it? Because you look at reality as the cause. Why look at reality as the cause? Because the universe does not have independent existence. Universe cannot exist independently. The existence of the universe is dependent on the existence of the reality. Therefore, we look at the universe as the effect, reality as the cause. Look at the reality as the cause, then you attribute the Ishvara status to the reality. Is it clear? Therefore, the cause of the universe is what? Ishvara.
Listen.
Therefore, what do you say now? If the cause of the universe is Ishvara, is it understanding? Look at everything is what now? As Ishvara. Because you have not yet understood how that reality is, existence of the reality is, the existence of the universe, you have not yet understood. Does not it become very clear? Shastram says, therefore you have understood it. But you, it has not become clear vision for you. So you look at, so Shastram teaches you everything. See, look at, learn to look at everything as Ishvara. So you take the Shastra's teaching, or Shastra, universe, reality is the cause, and reality is the, is as good as the cause. Reality is looked upon as Ishvara, and not only one cause, the material cause of the universe, intelligent cause of the universe, and both the causes are one and the same reality. Therefore, we look at the same reality being the, both the cause of the universe, look at it as Ishvara. Ishvara's status is attributed to the reality because of the reality being both the causes. Therefore, no effect exists independent of the cause. Therefore, universe does not exist independent of the cause. The reality, the Ishvara, isn't it? Therefore, you look at everything as what? Ishvara. Because cause is not the effect, but effect is the cause. With this understanding, I look at everything as Ishvara. This is Saguna Brahma Upasana. But when you discover the reality and assimilate the reality, where do you discover the reality? Not as an object, as your own Swarupam. When you discover it, when you understand how this reality is nothing but consciousness, consciousness is the existence, you become very clear. You see everything is, everything being reality. Isn't it? When you really see a universe is nothing but reality, universe is knowledge, the reality, universe is Ishvara, it is Nirguna Brahma Upasana. Nirguna Brahma Upasana, Jnanam it is.
When you see as is. Yeah.
When you see as it is upa, it is Saguna Brahma.
I think to understand this,
I'll make you
listen. Listen, listen. Keep on listening. Okay, as this is what is, I'm repeating, that's why I know this. You have to see that. As. So the next verse.
1 second, Swamiji.
See, that is why Saguna Brahma Upasanam is very important. And it will prepare the mind for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. It's a pre-preparatory discipline for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. That is why Saguna Brahma Upasanam also, this Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam also does not require that one should sit in position and all that. It's understanding of the fact. See, the material cause of the universe, everything here is Bhagavan. Intelligent cause of the universe is the reality. And this, that reality alone is Ishvara. There's no Ishvara other than the reality. Okay? You have to understand that reality, arrive at the reality, assimilate the reality, see that reality being your own Swarupam. That's a different thing. But no, because that is why Shastram study helps you. So in all the previous chapters, you have understood this fact. Isn't it? Ishvara is what? Hey, there is the only reality. And that reality is what? Material cause and the intelligent cause of the universe. Therefore, the whole universe, no effect exists independent of the cause, outside of the cause. Therefore, the whole universe is inseparable from Ishvara, its cause. Therefore, the whole Jagat is Ishvara. You see, whole Jagat is Ishvara. But still, you do not know what the reality is. You accept the fact the whole Jagat is Ishvara, but still you are not able to see how the whole Jagat is Ishvara. Therefore, you see the whole Jagat as Ishvara. Is it clear? Whole Jagat as Ishvara. And with this understanding itself, is something, it's a very, all the time, remember the Shastra's fact, Jagat Karanam Ishvara. Jagat is the Karyam. Jagat is not separate from the Karanam. Karyam is not separate from Karanam. Karana Vyatiriktam Karyam Nasti. Karana Vyatiriktam Karyam Nasti. There's no effect which is independent of its cause. Therefore, this Jagat Karyam is is not there without the its karanam Bhagavan, the whole Jagatis, Ishvara. This is a fact established by the Shastram. I accept this fact, therefore I try to see the Jagat as Ishvara. Therefore, I never forget this all the time, because all day, always you are in the Shastra study. I remember this fact. It's called Nitya Yuktaha. Nitya Yuktaha means ever remembering this fact. No, never forgetting this fact. Nitya Yuktaha. Then in keeping with my understanding of Bhagavan, the whole Jagat as Bhagavan, with Bhagavan being the form of the whole Jagat, my behavior also, I try to live my life in conformity with Dharma, Bhagavan of order. Then that is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And such people are really dearest to Bhagavan. See, one who sees everything as Ishvara definitely cannot go against Dharma. You know why? He understands everything is Ishvara means the Bhagavan is in the form of universal, natural, moral, law and order. Therefore, the person seeing the whole Jagat as Ishvara means the person also lives his life in conformity with Dharma, in conformity with Ishvara. Now, not only that, he has respect for every being and reverence for everything in this universe. When you have respect and reverence for every other living being, everything else in the world, naturally you try to live your life in conformity with Dharma. Therefore, you live your life without transgressing the order, disturbing the order. Therefore, you live in harmony with Ishvara. Therefore, you are tapping Bhagavan's grace. Therefore, you are dearest to Bhagavan. It is upasana. It's not simply, you know, with the understanding must be there. This is upasana. Because it should reflect our day-to-day life. That is upasana. You're not simply sitting and closing your eyes and seeing it. There's no fraction of second Bhagavan is forgotten. Now think of the murti or form or something, Ramanama Japa or something. There's no fraction of second. You forget this fact of Bhagavan being the whole. That in conformity with the understanding, your behavior is there. Your transactions with the world is there. Consciously, knowingly, you do not want to go against Dharma. And you make all possible efforts. Therefore, you seek Bhagavan's grace prayerfully to be able to live a life of Dharma. Because there's nothing which you can disrespect and nothing which you cannot have reverence for. So consciously, there's no really hatred for anything in the world also. Even though there's a list of people you have in your mind, I can't hand these people. But still you look at, you begin understanding of everything is Bhagavan, then even the people you think they deserve your hatred, and there you try to neutralize that. You can keep away a bit, but still don't, there's no hatred. You're neutralizing the raga dveshas repeatedly by seeing everything as Ishvara, everything as Ishvara, everything as Ishvara, and really you are trying to neutralize your own raga dveshas also. It has to grow, it's a growth, isn't it? That's why Saguna Brahma Upasanam itself is not an easy joke. Vishwarupa Darshan Upasanam itself, Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam itself is not an easy joke. It's not simply saying everything is Ishvara. No. That is why you start with the Ekarupa Upasanam, then you move on to Vishwarupa Upasanam. This itself is a shift. Your growth have grown a bit to be able to see everything as Ishvara, seeing everything as Ishvara means without alienating, without being any develop, entertaining any hatred towards anything. You have to deal with the situations and people and everything. It's all Vishwarupa, Ishvara Upasana. Okay, therefore they are dearest to me, Bhagavan says. Next one, the third verse. Third and the fourth together, fourth these verses, Krishna talks about the Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. So Saguna Brahma Upasakaha are discussed in the second verse. Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha discussed in the third and the fourth verse. Sri Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha means the people who meditate upon Bhagavan as not as the universe, but as the very reality of the universe. When those who meditate upon Bhagavan as very reality of the universe, they meditate upon Bhagavan as their own Swarupam. That's a very important thing. People who meditate upon Bhagavan as the reality of the universe, they meditate upon their own Swarupam, their own real nature. Therefore, for Nirguna Brahma Upasakas, Bhagavan, the reality of the universe, is the very Swarupam, their own nature. Bhagavan is not an object obtaining in the form of universe, but Bhagavan is the very Swarupam of the meditator. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Bhagavan is the object obtaining in the form of the entire universe. In Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Bhagavan is the reality of the universe obtaining in the form of the very Swarupam, the meditator's Swarupam. The Swarupam of the meditator. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, the meditator sees the universe as Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan is an object obtaining in the form of the whole universe. In Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Bhagavan is meditated upon as the very reality of the universe. Therefore, the reality of the universe, they meditate upon the reality of the universe, Bhagavan, as their own real nature. Therefore, not an object in Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Bhagavan, the reality of the universe, is the very Swarupam of the meditator. Not an object, the Swarupam of the subject. In Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Bhagavan is an object in the form of the universe. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Bhagavan is the very Swarupam of the meditator, the subject. And this Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is technically called Nididhyasanam, and for which one must have done Shravanam and Mananam. So Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is dependent on Shravanam and Mananam. So Shastra study is important even for Saguna Brahma Upasanam, without which you can understand the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Okay. And yesterday we saw Aksharam. That is why here Bhagavan's Swarupam, or you can say seeing Bhagavan as the reality of the universe, and that reality is impelled by the word Aksharam Brahma, imperishable reality, and we saw which is not available for objectification, which is not an object at all. If Bhagavan, Swarupam is not, Aksharam Brahma is not an object, reality of the universe is not an object, then what is it? It is Swarupam of the subject. Therefore, Avyaktam, Achintyam, Anirdeshyam, Sarvatragam, Achalam, Dhruvam, Kutastham, Paryupasate. Then they meditate upon the reality which is of this nature, which we yesterday explained. But to meditate upon this, let me tell you. So to meditate upon this reality, abstract reality, which is the very Swarup, which is which is of the nature of attributelessness. How to meditate upon the attributeless reality? One must be qualified for being able to dwell upon the attributeless reality, obtaining as one's own real nature. That's why Krishna says in the next verse, what are the qualifications one must have had to be eligible, to be able to dwell upon the abstract reality, the attributeless features, featureless reality? Sanniyamya Indriya Gramam. Indriya Gramam Sanniyamya. So generally, the qualifications prescribed in the Shastram are fourfold qualifications. That is why in the very beginning itself, text Tattva Bodha, these qualifications are emphasized. For a person to be able to be contemplative, definitely he must have had these qualifications. Otherwise, being contemplative is a joke, will be a joke. It will not be a proper possible. So, vivekaha, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Then vairagyam, vivekaha. See, what is real, what is not real, what is permanent and what is not permanent, that discriminative understanding one must definitely have. Only if what is permanent, what is impermanent, if this knowledge is not there, definitely you will be interested in impermanent things. So that basic understanding is important. Everything in this universe is impermanent. We cannot make it permanent. That's the very nature of the universe and the objects which constitute the universe. Once if everything is impermanent here, you can enjoy the impermanent things when you happen to enjoy them, but be conscious of the fact that impermanent things I can enjoy, they're meant for your enjoyment, but definitely they cannot give me permanent happiness. The problem is when you're enjoying the impermanent things, forgetfully, you get emotionally entangled with the impermanent things and you become completely leaning, dependent on them, and you seek security and happiness in those impermanent things. That is when there's a sorrow comes and then sadness comes and grief comes. It's a problem. Once you understand the fact, it's only a question of understanding the fact. Understanding of the fact will help you accept the fact as a fact. Only then you are a mature individual. Oh, first of all, you don't even understand the fact. When you do not have the understanding of the fact, even if you are 60, 70, 80, 90 year old, still you are immature people. If you have understanding of the fact and we should have the capacity to accept the fact as a fact, only then we are mature people. I understand the fact, but accepting the fact is very difficult for me. If you say this is not something unnatural, one may not be able to accept the fact as a fact, but still it implies what? Your immaturity. That's why I always gave the example. I'm sure you remember the story of the toys. Remember the story? When you buy a toy, you know the toy will break. And you want the child to enjoy with play with the toy. And you definitely know, before buying the toy, you know nature of the toy, it will break. And when the child is enjoying with the toy also, you know you are very happy, the child is enjoying the toy. The toy breaks also, you are the same. Before buying, but during the enjoyment of the toy, that the toy is broken, you are still happy. You are okay. You are not shaken. Whether the child who are enjoying the toy, playing with the toy, gets very upset when the toy is broken. Why? Because the two factors. The child does not understand the nature of the toy, understand the fact about the toy. What is the fact? It will break definitely. That fact the child doesn't understand. And even if you make the child try to make your best effort, make all possible efforts to make the child understand the fact, if the child understand also, the child is not able to accept the fact because of lack of preparedness, some immaturity. Therefore, the child will be crying and then worried, sorrowful. The same way, but you are free. You are not affected by that. In the same way, in the world also, the fact is, the whole jagat and all the objects of enjoyment are like the toys for the mature grown-up people also. They all keep you occupied and engaged and busy. And they are of the nature of, what now? They are time-bound in nature. They will not be available for you all the time for your enjoyment. Therefore, they are time-bound in nature. Once you understand the fact, and you, when they are available, enjoy them, accept them, enjoy them, but also be prepared to learn to be without them also. That is not possible. So understand the fact that they are time-bound in nature, or they cannot give you what they want in nature, what you want in reality. And isn't it? Understand the fact, accept the fact. That is maturity. That is very important. So here, for which Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha. Let me finish it. Then that once that fact is, but that is very clear, there will be Vairagyam possible. Vairagyam means what? Vairagyam does not mean you should run away from the objects of the world. Be with the world, enjoy the world, be with everything, but be conscious of their nature that everything is time bound. Therefore, be intelligently independent of the world and objects and situations and people for happiness and security. That's called Vairagyam. Be independent of the world for your happiness and security. Be with them, enjoy them, but be independent of them for your happiness and security, which is Vairagyam. The third qualification, therefore, is what? The disciplines. And be conscious of following these disciplines in terms of Shamaha and Damaha. I'm not going to elaborate on this, okay? Shama, Dama, Uparama, Titiksha, Shraddha, etc. Which we understood very clearly in Karma Yoga. Then definitely there must be, first of all, desire for moksha must be there. People do not even after studying Shastra for so long, people really worry, ask this question, am I really interested in moksha? If what is moksha is not something dying and going away somewhere. Moksha is the desire for happiness and which is there, desire for everlasting happiness and desire for absolute peace, which is always there. If you ask every human being what you ultimately want is peace and happiness only. This must be repeatedly analyzed. What am I living this life for? What am I really seeking through all my pursuits? What do I really seek in my life? What am I really all the time I'm searching for? I want to be peaceful and happy. Is it not true? You have to ask this question. Make sure that, yes, definitely moksha is my absolute end, ultimate goal. I want to be peaceful and happy. There's no doubt about it. The desire for moksha is there. I cannot say, no, I'm not interested in moksha. If you do not know what moksha is, you will not have desire for moksha. You really understand what moksha is, you have only desire for moksha. This must be very clear. Mokshatvam. As well, these are the fourfold qualifications. And that Krishna here puts it differently as what? Let me see that now. Sanniyamya Indriya Gramam. Indriya Gramam Sanniyamya means having relatively adequate degree of mastery over your all your sense organs, all your powers. Indriya Gramaha means what? All your Indriyas, Indriyani collectively called Indriya Gramaha. Five sense powers, five powers of organs of actions. So Damaha and Shamaha. Mastery over sense organs, mastery over organs of action, mastery over your activities, everything. Shamaha Dhamaha. Senses and mind. Mastery over your mind is Shamaha. Otherwise called Shantihi. Shamaha is another word for Shantihi. Shantihi is a feminine gender word. Shamaha is a masculine gender word. It is a peace. What does the word Shamaha means? Peace. Shantihi means what? Peace. How can you be peaceful? Relative Shanti, absolute Shanti. Absolute Shanti is only in Jnanam. Possible only in Jnanam. But for to accomplish the, to have the clear, doubt-free, assumed vision of reality, which is absolute Shanti, you must have relative peace. One must be relatively peaceful. A highly disturbed, agitated person cannot have, isn't it? You are disturbed all the time. You are disturbed by, you know, the emotions. How can you focus? Therefore, your shamaha means relative peace, which means mastery over one's mind, ways of thinking. And dhamaha, mastery over one's sense organs, all the senses. So, indriya gramam sanyamya. That, how can you do? Only by consciously living a life of dharma, the commitment to live a life of dharma alone, one can have shamaha. So living a life of dharma becomes part and parcel of your life. Then you have that relative peace. Then you also have definitely mastery over your senses. And no sense objects can really tempt your mind towards itself, even if you perceive them. That means you have mastery over senses. Because you are remember all the time of the limitations. Then sarvatra samabuddhayaha. Samabuddhi means what? Again, remaining the same in all situations without elation and dejection, which all imply certain degree of maturity. See, for the person to become absolutely mature, you have to be relatively mature. Completely from being a raw-headed, immature person, you cannot become a total Mahatma overnight. Understand, growth must be slow, gradual. That is why you must be relatively mature to become absolutely mature. And here Krishna is talking about what? A relative maturity. You must have such a degree of maturity. Sarvatra samabuddhayaha means one has to learn to remain the same in all situations. Not learn to remain. This person who is contemplative has already learned to remain the same in all situations. When a person lives a life of karma yoga, he is making efforts. He is learning to remain the same in all situations. As a result of living a karma yoga, this person has learned to remain the same. Not he is still learning. Already learned to remain the same in all situations. Even though he is not disturbed. There is no elation or dejection in situations. He remains balanced. Even though he is still an ajnani, he still has yet to assimilate the reality. He has to still resolve his individuality, has still resolve his ahankara. But still, because this person has lived a life of karma yoga, he made efforts to remain the same in all situations. He made efforts to live a life of dharma. He made efforts to have dhammaha and shamaha. Now he is successful. In terms of having those disciplines, he has shamaha, he has dhammaha, he has calmed his mind, relatively he is free from agitations, relatively he is free from impurities, therefore, and relatively he is able to remain the same in all situations. Okay? Sarvabuddhayaha. And such a person, sarvabhuta hiterataha, those people, the third one, sarvabhuta hiterataha, and this person is equally interested in the well-being, wellness, welfare of all other beings in the world. Not only the human beings, all other beings. One who has empathy, one who is compassionate, one who definitely considers, one who can understand the pain of other persons, other people also. therefore he equally equally interested in the well-being of everybody else. Therefore, sarva bhuta hite rataha. It's all expansion of the mind. The karma yoga, saguna brahma upasanam has helped this person for the expansion of his mind that he is able to see this. Sarva bhuta, because living a life of karma yoga and Ishwara upasanam, etc. has contributed for sensitizing his mind. So, refining his mind. As a result of the mental refinement, sensitivity of his mind, he is able to see, he can have empathy for other beings, and he is interested in the well-being of everybody else also. The sarva bhuta hite rataha, such people, when they are able to discover, they're able shavanam and mananam has helped them discover the reality also, because it's quality, this nature, because of the qualifications they have. This is verse number 4 presents the qualifications of the nididhyasa person who is involved in nididhyasanam. Who can practice nirguna brahma upasam? Who can be a contemplator? Who can be contemplative? What are the qualifications required on the part of the one who wants to be contemplative? Those qualifications are prescribed in the 4th verse. Okay, nirguna brahma upasakasya qualifications. He has mastery over mind and senses, relative mastery. How? Because he has lived a life of karma yoga. Then he has not now samabuddhi, he has mentally equanimous. These people are equanimous and they are interested in the well, conscious of not going against dharma, because they are well interested in the well-being of everybody. Sarva bhuta hite rataha. It's very important. I should 100% conscious, 100% conscious of others' lives also. Isn't it? Rataha, such people, pariyupasate, when they can meditate upon Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan, the reality of the whole universe. Therefore, Bhagavan alone is in the form of the universe. And that reality they discovered as their own Swarupam through Shravanam and Mananam. And having discovered Bhagavan being the very Swarupam of the universe as their own Swarupam, and they dwell upon that Swarupam. And which Swarupam? Which is avyaktam, which is not an object perceptible through senses, and which is achintyam, which is not something subtle concept or idea which is conceivable through thoughts, and which cannot be described, which is of the nature of attributelessness, which cannot be described through words, and such an object in non-describable, imperceptible and inconceivable reality, which is all pervasive and which is free from time limitation. Therefore, which is what we say here, achalam, which is unmoving, all pervasive, unmoving, and which is kutastham, kutavat tishtati, kutastham, which remains like an anvil, without undergoing any changes, allowing all the changes to happen on the part, just as an anvil allows the heated metal, which is, when the gold is striking, the changes happen on the part of the heated metal, but the anvil, which only gives support for the beaten metal, but it is not, it doesn't undergo any changes. It contributes to the shaping of the metal also, but it doesn't undergo any changes. In the same way, that which remains like the kuta, anvil, with undergoing any changes, allowing the changes to happen. Here, Atma, the consciousness, is like the kuta, and there, all the changes happening where? In the mind. Isn't it? Mind, the changes happen in the mind. There's a hammering happens, isn't it? pain comes, pleasure comes, all the changes happen in the mind. The autism is striking, isn't it? Lots of changes happen. But changes happen on the part of the mind. But this mind, where does it exist? In the changeless consciousness. The changeless consciousness, the constantly changing mind, constantly changing thoughts obtain. And that reality is what here? Bhagavan Swarupam, he dwells upon that consciousness not as an object, but as the very Swarupam of the subject meditator I. And that person, in the due course of time, what happens? That becomes assimilated. Oh, I, the meditator, am pure consciousness, which is the only reality, Swarupam, which alone is the existence of the whole cosmos. Then, and that vision, he sees himself being identical with Bhagavan. I, the meditator, am consciousness. The whole universe is what? Actually, the existence of the universe is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, I am identical with Ishvara, the whole. I am non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole. Before he sees what I am, non-separate from Bhagavan, because Bhagavan is the whole, I am part of the whole. Now, this person really sees the fact of his Swarupam being consciousness and consciousness being the existence of the world. Therefore, he sees himself being non-separate from Bhagavan, his real nature being identical with Bhagavan. Bhakti? It's clear? In fact, he knows what? There is no Parama Atma. There is no Jiva Atma. Parama is also an adjective attributed to the same Atma. Jiva is also an qualification attribute to the same Atma. The standpoint of what the Atma associated with. Atma associated with the whole is given the adjective title Parama. And Atma associated with the individual is given the title Jiva. Really speaking, the Jiva Atma is not there. Parama Atma is not there. Only Atma, which is Brahma. And what is that Atma, which is Brahma? The absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, is pure knowledge. Pure awareness, pure consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says, Mameva prapnuvanti, te mameva prapnuvanti. Such people who contemplate upon the very nature of the reality, reality of the universe, who do not meditate upon Bhagavan as the universe, in the form of the universe. These people do not meditate upon Bhagavan in the form of universe. Meditate upon Bhagavan as the very reality of the universe, which they have discovered as their own Swarupam. Meditate upon Bhagavan as their own Swarupam, not as an object. And such people, as a result of which, they attain Bhagavan. Mameva prapnumanti. Who is exalted here? Who is superior? There is no comparison. Because there is no choice. One prepares the other. For the other. What is the highest level of bhakti? Being contemplative upon Bhagavan as the very reality, as one's own Swarupam, one's own mind, is what? Highest form of devotion. And that should culminate in what? The vision of Bhagavan being oneself. One's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan, which is the Jnani Bhakta. Who is a Jnani Bhakta? We'll see later on. Okay. Okay. Now here. Now in the second verse and the third and fourth. In two verses, Bhagavan has finished what now? Arjuna's question has been answered. What is he implying? What does he imply? You need not ask who is supreme, who is inferior. There's nobody is inferior here. Nobody is superior here. Both are important disciplines. One is the prerequisite for the other. Anirguna Brahma Upasakas, reach me, attain me in terms of knowledge. Saguna Brahma Upasakas are the dearest to me because they never forget Bhagavan. Okay, we understood this much. Now, from here, suppose if somebody says, oh, it is very difficult. Why? Absolute reality is abstract reality. It is not an object. It is not perceptible, not conceivable, not describable, and very abstract. And then also, it's very difficult for me to, very difficult. It's not easy. Really, it's not easy. Dwelling upon Bhagavan as one's own Swarupam is not an easy joke, really. Because it needs a lot of preparation. That is why, if that is possible, then Krishna would have done in the very beginning itself. So, one thing you have to understand here, definitely Shastram makes it repeatedly very clear. Moksha is the ultimate goal. And that moksha is only through jnanam. Because ignorance is the cause of the bondage, which is samsara, which is the problem. And jnanam is the only solution. And for that jnanam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Okay, Shastra Shravanam is the means. For jnanam, Shravanam is the only means. And if for Shravanam to be effective, you must be already qualified. If you are not already qualified for the Shravanam, then Shravanam can give you jnanam. At least after jnanam, you need two more, this mananam and nididhyasanam. If you are not qualified for jnanam. Is it clear? That is made very clear. So what was Parsha Diksha, Darshana Diksha, by touch some people can give me Diksha. What about different yogas? Kundalini Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga, or this Yoga, that Yoga, you know, Mantra Yoga, Kriya Yoga. People talk about so many yogas. And just by touching the back, touching the head, something happens, Mahatma comes. So Krishna, it is all non-traditional stuff. Okay, Shastram saying Sampradaya, you will miss the Sampradaya. You go away from Sampradaya. If you believe all those things, be 100% repeatedly, I've said, okay. You can go to any number of Mahatmas, go fall their feet, share their punyam. No doubt about it. But hold on to Shastram. And pray to Bhagavan yourself. Seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of Dharma, to be able to understand Shastram, be able to be focused in Shastram. That's what must be the prayer. Because Shastram is very important. I repeat, it says, if it was easy, Krishna would have touched Arjuna and given the jnanam. Why only Krishna? Krishna would touch Arjuna, even Duryodhana. He would have done it. He would have done it easily. Hey, come on, Duryodhana, come on. Push him, bring him. He wasn't, he give him jnanam. He'll be overnight, he'll be fine. Push him on his lap, you know, and touch him. Come on, jnanam. He could have given that easily. Why only Duryodhana? Even before the war, they could avoid the whole war. Just by touch everybody, and that not an ordinary person. Krishna, Mahayogi. In fact, everybody is miracle monger. Krishna could have done greatest miracles. He touched everybody, given jnanam to everybody by touch, just by touching. He could have made everybody overnight Mahatmas and the whole war, Mahabharata war could have been stopped. Isn't it? But it's not practical. It is not easy. It is difficult because it needs lots of preparation. But so if you're not prepared, you're not qualified, you don't need to worry about it. As Swami gives his example, suppose the baby is born, when the baby is born, suppose imagine a young couple, newly married couple, who had the first baby, a tiny little baby. They themselves are very young. They had their own colorful life expectations. And this baby is born. Now that the baby is born, which mother and father or which grandparents start worrying about, my God, my baby is only now it is born first day, not even 1 month, not even 1 week, not even 1 year. I have to raise him now, give him milk and then give him food and send him to good school and then get him good teacher. Like I see the good friends are around, and later on, now he's a boy, means I had to look for a very beautiful girl for to get him married, and he must be a rich girl, richest girl, very culturally very rich and academically very rich and highly, and he must be a very good family of good reputation also. Great, he's grand. This the all those things. Do you worry? You are mad, okay? You miss the baby. Enjoy the baby at present, whatever. And you know definitely this baby is one day going to go into a beautiful young girl, or definitely going to be, you know, one young, nice, handsome young boy. You definitely know. But all that you need to is what now? You don't worry about anything. Just do what you need to do as a young mother. In the same way, if that is very clear, don't need to worry about, oh my God, moksha. Right. Be very clear. That is definite. But this is what I need to do at present. Isn't it? Of course, I need to become mature. Let me do what I need to do. Shastram tells. So Krishna says, if you think it is very difficult, you are not qualified. Now, you have to remember six levels I told you. At least definitely three. You have to remember karma yoga, upasanam and jnana. So here now he says, if it is very difficult, what? If it's difficult to meditate upon the abstract reality that is your own swarupam, we think you're not yet ready. Why? Because it involves difficulty. Kleshaha adhikataraha. Then what should you do? The difficulty involved in contemplation is accepted by Krishna himself, and he says in the fifth verse, Klesho dhikatarastesham.
Klesho dhikatarastesham.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta higatir dukham.
Avyakta. Tahigatir dukkham.
Dehavadbhiravapyate.
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 Kleshodhikatarastesham.
Kleshodhikatarastesham.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta higatir dukkham.
Avyakta higatir dukkham.
Dehavadbhiravapyate.
Dehavadbhiravapyate.
Okay. So tesham avyakta asakta chetasam. Asakta chetas means people whose minds are interested, are committed to the contemplation upon the abstract reality. Avyakta means imperceptible, unobjectifiable, abstract reality. Asakta chetas means people whose minds are committed to the contemplation upon the absolute reality. For them, kleshaha adhikataraha. Kleshaha adhikataraha. Difficulty. There is a greater difficulty. Adhikataraha. Adhikataraha kleshaha. Kleshaha means difficulty. Adhikataraha means there's a greater difficulty, there's a more difficulty. Adhikataraha kleshaha. It involves much more effort. Avyaktagatihi. This commitment to practice of contemplation upon one's own swarupam, the absolute reality, the abstract truth, what involves really pain, dukkham. Why? If you are not mature, if you are not prepared. It is easy for the people who are qualified. It is difficult for the people who are not qualified. For whom? Dehavadbihi. So dehavad means, literally the word dehavad means the one who is endowed with the body. All of us are endowed with the bodies only. So he is not simply being endowed with the body. It means dehavantaha means people who have deha abhimana. People who have very strong identity with the body, mind, sense complex. It is very natural for all the human beings to have very strong identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Dehatma buddhi is very, very natural. Very natural. It's not wrong. But repeatedly listening to the Shastram. No, Shastram will remind you of the fact. Even you are endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. And you are here for you to enjoy this life, enjoy this world. Body is a boga ayatanam, an abode of enjoyment. Your sense organs are instruments of enjoyment. They are given to you, are the enjoyer. No, you are here being endowed with this body, mind, sense complex, obtaining as an individual. You are the enjoyer, you are the experiencer, you are the knower as an individual. As an individual, definitely you are an experiencer, an enjoyer. So you live in where? And this is an abode of enjoyment. And these instruments, all these powers of organs, of actions, powers of sense organs, are all, you are blessed with all of them to enjoy the world, to experience the world. But you have to remember what, therefore you, the experiencer, are distinct from all of them, and they have their own time limitation also. There's a given period of time in keeping with the Punya Papa, you can enjoy the abode of enjoyment, enjoy the instruments of enjoyment, making use of them, enjoy the external world around you also. And there may be desirable and undisabled pains and pleasures. They may be both. Okay? But definitely you are distinct. And that Shastram repeatedly will remind you. Shastra study will repeatedly remind you of the fact. But it is not easy. You will forget. Isn't it? So, we natural for us to be, to have identity, strong identity with the body, mind, and complex. It is very natural for us to get completely emotionally entangled with the first circle relatives associated with the physical body. And second circle relatives, friends, and whom we associate with. And also the world, the family, husband, wife, very important relationship. At the same time, we get very entangled also. Very natural. Nothing wrong. No, they're not children. My God, they were born of you. They born through you, not of you, but still, and then you also get the, because some very attached, very natural. So when this, because they have been mahana, naturally when you get so much entangled, it is not that easy for you to become totally dispassionate. Isn't it? Therefore, he says dukkham dehavadbihi. Dukkham avapyate. by those people who have very strong identity with the body mind complex, and because of the associations and entanglement, it is not that easy to become adequately dispassionate to be able to be contemplative. Therefore, it involves pain. It's not easy. So, dukkleshaha adhikataraha. There's a difficulty is there. Kleshaha adhikataraha. So, what should we do then? Why it is difficult? What is the reason for the difficulty? Why there is difficulty in practicing contemplation and contemplating upon one's own real nature? Why avyakta gatihi? Isn't it? Klesha. You can say why there is a adhikataraha kleshaha. Why there is pain, why there is difficulty, why it is not that easy. Contemplation is very easy. Everybody will become contemplative overnight. Simple reason. It is difficult because we are not ready. If there is preparedness, it will be very easy. If you are qualified, it will be very easy. If you are not prepared, if you are not qualified, it is very difficult. And not only this jnanam, whether it is a physics, chemistry or botany or biology, mathematics, in any discipline, in study of any discipline, if you are prepared, qualified for what is being taught, to understand it is easy. If you are not prepared, then definitely it will be very difficult. You can't understand. And here it's not the understanding alone. It's all the mental discipline is required here. Must be able to sit, isn't it? Very important. That is why I said, even when you come to the class, or once you start the class, and no more serving tea, coffee, and all that. Because even that basic discipline, I know it, I don't understand it. Everywhere we compromise, and how are we going to learn? You know what I'm saying? So, very important. That's why he says, if you are not qualified, what should I do? If it is difficult for anybody, if you think it is difficult, then see that you become qualified. For becoming qualified, what should you do? Better go back to the next level. So Krishna, the sixth verse, he again recommends Saguna Brahma Upasanam. If Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, contemplation upon constantly dwelling upon the nature of reality is difficult, then better do what now? Go back to Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Again, for Saguna Brahma Upasanam also you need what? Always, never ever give up the Shastra study. For Jnanam, for Moksha, you need only Jnanam. For Jnanam, ignorance has to be resolved. For Jnanam, you need Jnana Yogaha. And what is Jnana Yogaha? Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam is Jnana Yogaha. In fact, Krishna calls it, we can say, Akshara Upasanam. Akshara Brahma Upasanam or Akshara Upasanam. And people can say Akshara Upasakaha. So here, he says next one.
Sixth
and seventh together. Mm-hmm. Then better Krishna again recommends the Saguna Brahma Upasanam for those who are not ready for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. 10 minutes break.
Okay, who wants tea? I'll just start everything.
Kleshodhikatarastesham avyakta. Avyaktasakta Chetasam Avyakta Higatir Dukkham Dehavadbhiravapyate. Therefore, having briefly given an answer in his 3 verses, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, having talked about the Saguna Brahma Upasakas and have mentioned about the Nirguna Brahma Upasakas in the 3rd verse, 3rd and 4th verses, Krishna points out the practical difficulty in the actual difficulty involved in the Nirguna Brahma Upasana. So Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is the actual meditation. In fact, moksha presupposes knowledge, because knowledge is moksha, and for knowledge of the self, knowledge of reality, you need enquiry. Knowledge of anything presupposes enquiry. Enquiry means study. So study involves what? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. So shravanam itself is enquiry, study. Shravanam, the enquiry, in the form of enquiry or study. Shravanam should result in jnanam, which will help you resolving the ignorance, which is moksha. But when you are not mentally prepared, then you need other 2 steps also, mananam and nididhyasanam. Definitely nididhyasanam is needed. So that's why Krishna says, then for the person who is not qualified for the contemplation, which is mental activity wherein one has to dwell upon the reality not as something different from oneself, not in the form of the world, not as an object, not as a Bhagavan, but as one's own very nature, where one has to repeatedly see the fact of the consciousness being the very truth of I. If they are not ready, then they have to go back to the next level, which is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. We discuss in the 6th and 7th verse. Let us see that now. Yetu Sarvani Karmani.
Yetu Sarvani Karmani.
Mayi Sanyasya Matpara.
Mayi Sanyasya Matpara.
Ananyenaiva Yogena.
Ananyenaiva Yogena.
Mam dhyayanta upasate.
Mam dhyayanta upasate.
Before entering into the meaning of this verse, I want to remind you one fact. Studying the Shastram systematically, regularly, with the help of a competent teacher for a length of time, is called the discipline of Shravanam, which itself is an enquiry into the nature of the reality. The systematic way of enquiring into the reality, which itself is the highest form of worship. It is called Jnana Yajnaha. In this fire ritual of, in this ritual of Jnana Yajna, the ignorance is the oblation offered into the fire of knowledge. The study of the Shastram is also what Shravanam itself is of highest, is an exalted form of worship. You should not forget this. So here, does not involve pancha upachara puja, shodash upachara puja, where no argyam, padyam, achamaneyam, offering coconut, breaking coconut, offering flowers, offering akshata, doing namaskarams, reciting shlokas, no. They're all not involved. 16-step puja or 5-step puja, shodash upachara puja, or performance of big rituals, havan, no. That's all karma. I'm not saying no. But this is also yajna. And here, knowledge is the fire into which reverence is the oblation offered. Therefore, shastra shravanam, shastra, listening to the unfoldment of the shastram, systematically, step by step, regularly, for length of time, with the help of the competent teacher, itself is what? A self-enquiry. Enquiry into the nature of the reality. And which is called a study, and which is what is needed for jnanam. Jnanam presupposes enquiry. Knowledge presupposes enquiry, which is the study, and which is this called shravanam here. This is a yajna. Okay? And that definitely that shravanam will work. Jnanam will take place. Jnanam, knowledge will be effective if you are qualified. Then if you are not adequately qualified, then you need other steps also, maranam and nididhyasana. And nididhyasana, again, if you say it's difficult, then better practice saguna brahma upasanam. When you practice saguna brahma upasanam, what should be your understanding? Krishna makes it very clear.
Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparah ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate.
So here first Krishna says, ye means those who, relative, those devotees, upasate, they meditate upon me. They worship me, they meditate upon me. How? Dhyayantaha. Dhyayantaha means having placed their attention upon me. Fix their minds upon me. They are in meditation. Which means, for them, what is the absolute end? What is the absolute end that they are committed to? They want to accomplish by practicing meditation. Matparaha. Matparaha means, for them, rediscovering Bhagavan is the ultimate end. But Matparaha means Bhagavan is the absolute end for whom they are called Matparaha. Mat means I am the absolute end for them. For them, Artha is not the ultimate end. Kama is not the ultimate end. Even Dharma is not an ultimate end for them. Matparaha means for them, moksha is the ultimate end. Bhagavan here means moksha. Discovering Bhagavan is discovering happiness, fullness, discovering Bhagavan. Matparaha means they are committed to the accomplishment of moksha in terms of the attainment of knowledge. They are called Matparaha, which means they have Purushartha Nischayaha. They are 100% clear about the purpose of living this life. They have no doubt at all about the ultimate end of human life. No doubt. They are matparaha. The doubt is a problem. That's why I told you once when it came last time also. Suppose, imagine this, okay, Amrita and then our little girl. All of them had a journey. All went to this Badrinath, Kedarnath and Chardham Yatra. And even they know the Sona Prayag, that Prayag, this Prayag. They were like coming down and getting down, helicopter and going again. even though they're getting down every time, the helicopter, they're going here and there, and they know what? Finally come back to Kuwait to their husbands and her home where they are. They know there's a big journey, went from here, came back. But wherever they were, whether Sona Prayag or Rudra Prayag or Badrinath or Kedarnath, Yamunotri, Gangotri, and nice hotels and nice food, wandering, loitering. They're doing all those things in between eating and then completely shopping. Okay? And then swimming and lots of things they're doing. But wherever they were doing, they were getting, you know, traveling all over, but they never forgot the fact they had to come back to their homes, and husbands are waiting, children are waiting. They know they had to come back. They never forget it. Having gone there, for Badrinath is so nice, and completely forget about husband and family and children. Don't come back. Oh, I had to go back? Do you ever ask? No. You never lose sight of where you have to come back. How conscious you are. Even though however nice the party is, and go and dance and jump and around, dine and dance program, and the whole night you spend there, and still you know you have to come back home. Children are there, exams, and you have to, husband, and you have to be there. You don't forget, you never lose sight of. The same thing must be there, what? Matparaha. No, you may be engaged. No, you may be with your families. You may be with everything. Matparaha. Never ever forget the goal. I am living this life ultimately to discover happiness as my own swarupam, fullness, my own swarupam, and which is the very swarupam of reality. Reality of the universe is Bhagavan, but the whole universe is Bhagavan, therefore, and Bhagavan who is the mouth of the whole universe, who essentially the reality, that reality is my own swarupam, which I need to discover, which is discovery of the moksha. And this whole life is lived for that. This is what makes the human life successful and meaningful and complete. Without which any other accomplishment will be on make his life only a relative accomplishment, relative success. This is the absolute success. This is the absolute accomplishment. If that is, that must be there. Matparaha. Krishna says matparaha. Therefore, matparaha. Ananyenaiva yogena. Ananya yogaha means not being conscious of their ultimate end being discovery of Bhagavan as their own swarupam. It's called what? Ananya Yogaha. Ananya Yogaha means being conscious of their ultimate goal being discovering Bhagavan as their own swarupam. Bhagavan has their own nature. So being conscious always, one thing which they never forget in their mind is what? Ananya Yoga. Ananya Yoga means the focus is never deviated. Non-deviated focus. Okay? Non-distracted focus. Which is ever retained focus. Ananya Yoga. Ever retained focus. Never deviated, distracted focus. Which means they are 100% clear about, they're conscious of discovering Bhagavan as their own swarupam being the ultimate goal. It's called Ananya Yoga. And with that, never ever focused attention, ever retained understanding that discovering Bhagavan as a swarupam being the ultimate end, and when they're totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan, having it, discovering Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, matparaha. Then they meditate upon Bhagavan. Understand now, this is how they worship Bhagavan. What to do? Sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya. They offer, they perform all their actions with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan. Performance of actions itself is what? An act of offering to Bhagavan. Here the question comes, hey, what do you mean by saying offering one's activities to Bhagavan? You do whatever you do. You need to do all your duties. Sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya. Sanyasya does not mean renouncing here. Not giving up the activity, renouncing the activities. Sanyasya means offering. Mayi sanyasya. Having offered all their activities, offering all their activities to me. Or offering the activities means what? In having an attitude of offering all their activities to Bhagavan, having Bhagavan as the ultimate, discovering Bhagavan as Rupa as the ultimate goal, and not forgetting this fact of Bhagavan, discovering Bhagavan being the ultimate goal, and those who meditate upon me, Bhagavan of the whole cosmos. He has a complete, way to go, next verse also. I take care of, no? I uplift them. I will uplift them. I'll be their uplifter. I'll be their elevator. I'll help them discover moksha, where Bhagavan says. So, when you say sarvani karmani sanyasya, offering offering one's activities to Bhagavan means having an attitude of offering one's activities to Bhagavan and entertaining an attitude of offering one's Bhagavan means remembering these certain facts. No? First thing you have to remember is what? Until I complete my activities, when I perform my duties, my activities, until I finish my activities, every time I do something, I have control over my activities, my actions. Until I finish any action I do, I perform, I have say over my action until I finish it. But once I finished my actions, I do not have any say over the fruits of actions. And the fruits of action, because I can use my will, I can use my knowledge of right and wrong, I can definitely refrain from things which are wrong, I can make it a point to do what is right, for which Bhagavan has blessed me with the adequate strength in terms of will power, the capacity to choose to do an action, and the knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, until I finish my actions, during my performance, I have say over my actions. Once I finish doing my actions, I do not have any say over the fruits of actions. And the fruits of actions are determined by, the fruits of actions are in the hands of Bhagavan. Actions are in my hands, the fruits of actions are in the hands of Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, the fruits of actions are determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, the fruits are given by Bhagavan's hands in the form of natural laws. And laws determine the results in conformity with what I deserve. results are ordained, determined by Bhagavan, the form of laws, in conformity with exactly what I deserve. The results are results of actions. So every situation that I go through in my life, all the situations, the pains and pleasures, the paths of opposites which I go through in my life are determined by Bhagavan in the form of law, natural laws, in keeping with what I deserve. And there is a cause behind everything. Behind everything. So the laws never go wrong. Whatever is determined by the law is perfectly determined in keeping with what I deserve. Therefore, even though laws determine the situations in keeping with my punya papa, they are of the nature of coming and going. They are not permanent. Therefore, I prepare my mind with receptivity or acceptance of whatever will be the result. As with the gift from Bhagavan. Yeah. So when we perform the activities already with the prasada buddhi, with the pre-preparedness to be ready to accept anything which comes in life, understanding the fact that laws only can determine the results. I can choose to do the actions, but laws will determine the results. It's called what now? Attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan and accepting everything as prasadam from Bhagavan also. Which means this itself is possible only when you look at Bhagavan as in the Bhagavan as the universal, natural, moral law and order. And for you to be able to see Bhagavan being the universal, natural, moral law and order, you see what? The whole universe as Bhagavan. See, understanding of Bhagavan as universal, natural, moral, law and order, the understanding Bhagavan as the whole, accepting, seeing the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. This is a fact. Is it clear? And this is also what Saguna Brahma Vishwarupa Ishwara Upasanam. Even though performance of actions implies karma yoga, this also implies what? Saguna Brahma Vishwarupa Ishwara Upasanam. Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Vishwarupa Ishwara Upasanam. Meditation upon Ishwara in the form of the whole cosmos. See, there, it is not possible for one to have Ishwara Arpana Buddhihi Bhavana or Ishwara Prasada Bhavana is not possible unless you see Bhagavan as the universal, natural, moral law and order. And for you to be able to see Ishwara, Bhagavan in the form of the universal, natural, moral law and order, you see the whole universe as Ishwara. Understand? So karma yoga also involves what now? Okay. In karma yoga, in living a life of karma yoga, when you for you to have a different attitude in performing actions. Everybody performs actions. As a karma yogi, when your actions are performed, you have a different attitude. That attitude itself is because of what? Because of seeing Bhagavan as the universal natural law, natural moral law and order. And that is because you're seeing the whole universe embodiment of Ishvara. This is also what? This is also Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam. See, you are now helped to see Karma Yoga also being Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam. Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Because you are very conscious in doing your action, very conscious of what you are doing. You're very conscious of how you are doing. You're very conscious of how you are expecting the results. So you are expecting the result, you are performing everything for the results, but there is already certain understanding of how the results are determined. Therefore, it because you see your helplessness in determining the results. You see Bhagavan's hands being there in the form of the laws, the natural laws. Therefore, certain receptivity is there on your part. Acceptance is there already. No? Therefore, you see it with reverence as prasada. There is no resistance for what is going to come. Is it clear now? That's called Mayi Sarvani Karmani. Mayi Sarvani Karmani Mayi Sanyasya Matparaha Ananyenaiva Yogena. Three words I have explained. Mam Dhyayantaha Upasate. Okay. Always being focused in me, they worship me, they meditate upon me. They are in meditation. That is why the more you understand meditation, you need not do meditation. You will be in meditation. I've been telling you from day one. Suppose if a person lives that life of meditation, it's called a meditative life, living a life of meditation. It's not Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, it's only Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam. I'm putting all these words again and again. Here also, if you live, this meditative life means you're conscious of Dharma, conscious of Bhagavan, conscious of Bhagavan, your goal. You never forget your goal. You never forget the way of life determined by the Shastram. You don't live your life mechanically. You live your life consciously with all alertness, which itself is a meditative life. Okay? Life of meditation. You don't mechanically live your life. You're consciously living your life. Which means being conscious is being thoughtful. Isn't it? Which means you're focused. You don't lose sight of your focus. Matparaha Ananya Yoga. These two words are very important here. Only then Sarva Karma Samarpanam is possible. Sarva karma sannyasa is, not sannyasa does not mean renouncing here, offering, arpanam. Sannyasaha in this context means arpanam, offering. If a person lives, then what happens? Tesham aham samuddharta. Tesham aham samuddharta. Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Mrityu samsara sagarat.
bhavami na chirat partha
bhavami na chirat partha
maya veshita chetasam
maya veshita chetasam.
Krishna says, for such people who live a life of meditation, being focused on me, having me as their ultimate goal, not forgetting the fact that they are the ultimate end is discovering me as their goal in their Rosarupam. Such people, for them, Aham Samudharta Bhavami. Aham Samudharta Bhavami means I become their uplifter. I become their elevator. I help them accomplish. Okay, Bhagavan will take care of Samudharanam. Bhagavan will take care of the upliftment. Which means, where Mrityu Samsara Sagarat, from the ocean of life of the transmigratory life of births and deaths, Mrityu Samsara Sagarat, from this beginningless, endless, continuous, choiceless, helpless ocean of the transmigratory life of deaths and births and deaths, from there, I lift them up. I become their uplifter from the ocean of samsara. How? Na chirat, not after very long, very soon. Without any delay. For whom? Krishna again says, Mai aveshita chetasam. Mai aveshita chetas means those whose minds are focused on Bhagavan. Those whose minds have been offered to Bhagavan, minds have been placed in Bhagavan. You mean those who are meditative. Mai aveshita chetasam means for those people who are meditative, Mahi Aveshita Chetasam Tesham, for those meditative people who are always in meditation, for them, I become their uplifter from the ocean of samsara without any delay. Here the question comes, okay, if I practice meditation, Bhagavan lift me up. It's not physical lifting. Okay, how will Bhagavan become the Samudharta? Udharta means uplifter. Samudharta means he lifts you up from samsara for good. You will not be, you will not get into the ocean of samsara. You will be protected from this life of transmigration for good by Bhagavan. How will Bhagavan protect you? It's not physical upliftment, not physical elevation. It is not physically Bhagavan come and take you away. Which means Bhagavan will bless you with the understanding of your own Swarupam. Bhagavan Swarupam will be revealed to you as your own Swarupam. So, which means you will have Bhagavan's grace to be able to have Bhagavan Swarupam revealed to you as your own Swarupam. How can you have that Bhagavan Swarupam be revealed to you as your own Swarupam? By properly going through Shravanam. Bhagavan will see that you are blessed with the teaching, proper teaching. Bhagavan's blessing will be available for you. Grace will be there in the form of being able to do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. So, contemplative disposition of the mind, if you have, it is Bhagavan Samudharanam. If you're able to do Mananam, it is Bhagavan Samudharanam. If you're able to listen to the Shastram, Bhagavan's blessing. Grace. So Bhagavan's grace will be there in the form of being able to do the Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Thereby, you will have the clear, doubt-free vision of Bhagavan Swarupam as your own Swarupam, and which is real actual upliftment. Not by skipping, okay? If you live this life, meditative life, then you can skip Shravanamanana Nidhyasanam. No, no way of skipping Shravanamanana Nidhyasanam. See, if you are qualified, Shravanam is enough. If you are not qualified for Jnanam, after Jnanam also, you need other two steps. And Nididhyasanam, which is Nirvikalpa, which is a Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. The Nididhyasanam, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is the meditating upon the abstract reality. You are not focused attention like this. It is seeing, the repeatedly seeing the fact of your real nature being the consciousness, and that consciousness is the very existence, and how there's no matter other than that consciousness, but there's no jagat outside of this consciousness. Is it clear? In fact, mind discovering its own truth. Is it clear? Therefore, Bhagavan is only grace you need. So here again, that's why Saguna Brahma Upasana means don't think you have to sit somewhere in a corner and close your eyes and meditate, all those things. When you're asked to japam, manasa japam, or see Krishna swam or Rama swam, chant, it's all upasana only. But here, living your life 100% consciously, living your life of dharma, having Bhagavan as your ultimate goal. What is the absolute in my life? Bhagavan. Matparaha. What am I living this life for? I'm living this life ultimately for discovering Bhagavan Swarupam as my own Swarupam. Bhagavan as my own Swarupam. I'm living this life for. That's called Ananya Yoga. With the commitment to Bhagavan, not forgetting this goal. Understand now? Then, when I live my life consciously, with an attitude of offering all my offering all my actions to Bhagavan, with the preparedness to accept anything which comes in life as Bhagavan's prasada, because I know everything in life is determined by Bhagavan. That other person gets also, I see it as Bhagavan's blessing. Whoever gets anything, they deserve it. It helps me accept my lot. It helps me accept, when you see others enjoying anything also. Isn't it? Therefore, this itself is what? Which means, for me to be able to understand this fact that everything, that whoever is going through anything in life, everything is determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, means, for me, Bhagavan is what? The universal, natural, moral law and order obtaining in the governing the whole cosmos. But Bhagavan is the whole. Even though I have not yet understood what Bhagavan is, there is reality. Obtain my own Swarupa, I have not understood this. Still, this is because Bhagavan is Jagat Karanam. Is what now? It is Saguna Brahma, Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Also what now is there in Karma Yoga also. You know something special? You know, you can't separate everything. Not a compartment. First I do this, then I do this, then I do this. No. It has to be there. In your karma yoga itself, you can live only, and the goal is very clear. That is why Purusharthana nischaya is very important. So Krishna says, Aham Samudharta Bhavami. Now for such a person, it'd be easy for him to have Bhagavan's grace. Isn't it? Then definitely they will have, the Shravanam will be possible. Shravanam itself will bless the person with the jnanam, which is moksha. After Shravanam, after having Jnanam also, if the person has some problem, it will be possible for him to do Manana. Then Nididhyasanam also will be easy for the person because of Bhagavan's grace. All that you need is qualification. Qualification is there. Everything will be easy. Otherwise, klesha taraha. Nana, isn't it? Adhika taraha kleshaha. Adhika taraha kleshaha. Dukkham. So what is the main teaching today? One fact you have to remember. We all have say our actions definitely. Karmani adhikaraha asti. That meaning is indirectly given here. I have control over my actions in terms of using my will to do or not to do. To do differently. And definitely I can choose to do. I can refrain also if it is wrong. I have say over that. But once I finished doing it, definitely I do not have any say over. Only Bhagavan's hands have say there. Dhamma of law. They're determined by Bhagavan. Therefore, and law can never go against, law can never fail. And Bhagavan, the form of laws, natural laws, determined exactly what I deserve. But there's a preparedness on my part, already to accept anything which is going to come. Therefore, even while when I'm doing, I pray for the victory, I pray for the success, I pray for the result, I do it wholeheartedly, but there's no anxiety about what it's going to be. The anxiety is not there. But such a person is what? There is a Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. This person lives a life of meditation. Why? Matparaha, ananya yogaha. There's not even a fraction of second this person's mind forgets his ultimate goal of life being the discovery of Bhagavan, the truth of the whole as one's own swarupam. That's called ananya yogaha. I really wish you memorized those verses. Yeah. So, you have to remember the number of verses. Now we know first verse has question. Second verse talks about Saguna Brahma Upasakas. Third verse talks about the Nirguna Brahma Upasakas. And then the fourth verse actually along with it presents the qualifications for of a Nirguna Brahma Upasaka. Then the fifth verse discusses the difficulty involved in the Nirguna Brahma Upasanam because due to its abstractness. Then the sixth and the seventh verse, Krishna prescribes Saguna Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam, isn't it? Involving the Karma Yoga, the performance of actions with appropriate attitude as an alternate, a means of preparing themselves for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Okay?
Yetu sarvani karmani. Yetu sarvani karmani. Mayi sanyasya matparaha. Mayi sanyasya matparaha. Yetu sarvani karmani.
Yetu sarvani karmani.
Mayi sanyasya matparaha. Mayi sanyasya matparaha. Ananyenaiva yogena. Ananyenaiva yogena. Mam dhyayanta upasate. maam dhyayanta upasate.
Ananya yoga, do you remember the word now? Ananyena yeva yogena.
Ananyena yeva yogena.
That Yeva emphasizes definitely what is most important here is not forgetting one's ultimate goal being discovery of Bhagavan, not as an object but as one's own Swarupam.
Ananyenaiva yogena. Ananyenaiva yogena. Ananyenaiva yogena.
Ananyenaiva
yogena. Maam dhyayanta upasate.
Maam dhyayanta upasate.
Teshamaham samuddhartha. Maham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat. Teshamaham samuddharta.
Teshamaham
samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat. Bhavami na chirat partha.
Bhavami na chirat partha.
Bhavami na chirat partha.
Bhavami na chirat partha.
Maya veshita chetasam.
Maya veshita chetasam.
Tesha maham samuddharta. Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Bhavami na chirat partha.
Bhavami na chirat partha.
Maya veshita chetasam.
Maya veshita chetasam.
Mayi avesta chetasam tesham aham mrityu samsara sagarat samuddharta bhavami nachirat partha. Got it?
Yes. Swamiji uses samsara or sansar.
See, samsara. Okay. But sometimes you don't frame fully as a samsara. But samsara is correct. Samsara. Samsara.
So I want to know how you say
it. Yeah,
samsara.
So
some people say sansara.
Yeah, yeah. Sansara. That's okay. See, that's there. But you can say samsara.
Samsara.
Samsara. Okay. Okay, I know Hindi, you say samsara. So
yeah.
Samsara.
Shall we finish now?
Yeah. Now, only one thing I wanted to say. Today's class, how reality is like a koota. Koota vat tishtati iti kootastaha. I want to finish the whole topic, then I want to take it and I want to explain that to you. In Shankara's commentary, when Swamiji explains, kootaha means anvil. And kootavat tishtati iti kootastaha. Reality remains like the koota. The word is called kootastha. That which obtains, that which remains unchangingly, allowing the changes to happen in it, is called kootastha.
Reality remains
unchanging? No, that which, reality which remains unchangingly, changelessly, allowing the changes to happen in it is called kutastaha. So what is reality? How it is changeless and what are the changes allowed in it? If you ask, see, there cannot be something something called change outside of the reality. When you say the changes are happening, but where do the changes happen? The changes are happening in the reality, which means changes, whatever changes happens, those changes do not, cannot happen anywhere outside, far from, independent of the reality. All the changes happen only in the reality, but reality itself is of the nature of changelessness. In changeless reality, all the changes happen. All the changes happen in the changeless reality. Which means reality remains as a substratum, an ashraya adhara, where, supported by which alone, even the changes are possible, changes happen.
Yes, see, remains as a substratum for the changes to happen.
Substratum, because of the support of which alone, changes can happen. Without whose support, the changes cannot happen. Something called change itself is not possible. Therefore, it's called sthutastha. So here, the absolute reality, the consciousness is like the kuta. Or I can say consciousness or knowledge or awareness is the like the kuta. Now, this is the support, means the power of this knowledge, power of consciousness is known by the word maya. Isn't it? Power of consciousness is called maya. The power of consciousness, maya, it is power of consciousness manifest is called knowledge. I tell you, power of knowledge manifest is called knowledge. Power of knowledge unmanifest is called ignorance. I tell you, power of knowledge manifest is called knowledge. Power of knowledge unmanifest is called ignorance. Which means, where does the power of knowledge obtain? Power of knowledge obtains in the knowledge. If you ask, where does the power of the fire obtain? The power of the fire obtains in the fire. Power of sun obtains in the sun. Power of water obtains in the water. The power of electricity obtains in the electricity. The power of reality obtains in the very reality, the consciousness. Which means the reality and its power are inseparable, non-separate. Power of knowledge, power of reality, power of consciousness is non-separate from the reality, the consciousness. Inseparable from the reality, the consciousness. Is it clear? Now, this power of reality, conscious knowledge, manifest is called knowledge. What is knowledge? Manifestation of the power of knowledge is called knowledge. The power of knowledge unmanifest is called ignorance. So whether there is ignorance or knowledge, ignorance is what? Unmanifest power. Knowledge is what? Manifest power. Whether the power is manifest or unmanifest, the power obtains where, exists where? Not outside of knowledge. And that knowledge is what? Support, substratum. Knowledge is the substratum. Knowledge is the adhara. knowledge is the locus, location, where the manifest or the unmanifest power of knowledge exists. The power of knowledge is manifest. When you call it knowledge, then knowledge is recognizable. When the power of knowledge is not manifest, you call it ignorance, then it is non-recognizable. In knowledge, knowledge is recognizable. In ignorance, knowledge is non-recognizable. Is it clear? I'm using two words. The reality is pure knowledge. And the power of knowledge manifest is called also knowledge. The power of knowledge unmanifest is called ignorance. In ignorance, knowledge is non-recognizable. In knowledge, knowledge is recognizable. Is it clear? And this power of knowledge is of the nature of undergoing changes in terms of becoming manifest and being unmanifest is the nature of the power called Maya. Okay, becoming manifest, becoming from being unmanifest is the nature of the power of knowledge.
This is Maya.
In the power of knowledge known by the term Maya. See, we simply give the name for sake of understanding. The power of knowledge called Maya is of the nature of becoming manifest, being unmanifest, which means the power constantly becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest. Why does this power do? That is the nature, swabhava. Swabhava of the Shakti. Is it clear now? Jnanam is pure knowledge. Jnana Shaktihi is what? Power of knowledge. Jnanam, Jnana Shaktihi. Or I can say Chit or Chit Shaktihi. Chit means consciousness. Chit Shaktihi, power of consciousness. The Chit Shaktihi manifest is called knowledge. Chit Shaktihi resolved is called Maya. Chit Shaktihi, Jnana Shaktihi, okay, the power of knowledge. Manifest is knowledge. Unmanifest is
ignorance,
otherwise called Maya. Okay.
So is ignorance called Maya?
Yeah.
I'm confused. Power of knowledge is called Maya because it can change into knowledge and ignorance.
Yes.
So that is Maya.
Yeah.
Maya can change into ignorance.
See, power of knowledge manifest is Maya, manifest is knowledge.
Knowledge.
Maya resolved is Maya. The power of knowledge resolved, unmanifest is Maya. Power of knowledge manifest is knowledge. Power of knowledge resolved, unmanifest is ignorance, otherwise called Maya.
So Maya means ignorance.
No.
Maya is another word. Maya is another word for avidya, ignorance.
So Maya means ignorance. Another word for ignorance.
Maya means power, unmanifest power of reality.
Okay, Maya means unmanifest power of reality. Means
yes.
Because I always am confused with the word Maya.
Yes, even me.
What is Maya?
Yes.
Now I 108 times I told you.
Ye Maya ki Maya means unmanifest power.
I tell you, that is why we have very close to a lot of wrong understanding we have. We look at something as bad. That is why you have to understand. No, not bad. No, nothing wrong. I'm saying that people name children as Maya because if we took it as illusory power, it's a bad thing. It's not illusion. Look at, understand, Maya is a name given to the power of reality, the knowledge. And the power of knowledge, if it is manifest, you call it knowledge. If it is unmanifest, you call it Maya. Avidya, you better use the word ignorance. Avidya, no problem. And now the whole universe is manifestation of
knowledge.
Power of knowledge. Therefore, it is what now? Knowledge. The whole universe is knowledge. Now I tell you what I'm saying. Where does the power obtain?
Knowledge.
So, okay, now this power alone undergoes the changes. Power undergoes a change, then universe becomes manifest. Power resolves, universe becomes unmanifest. Power undergoes a change, power is manifest, universe is manifest. Power resolves, universe also becomes unmanifest. So what is this universe? Knowledge manifests is universe. Universe resolves is Maya, power, unmanifest power. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, and this is Kutastha means, these change on the part of the Maya, the power of power, where does it happen?
In knowledge.
Therefore, knowledge is the Kuta. But consciousness does not undergo any change. When the power of knowledge is manifest or it is resolved, consciousness continues to be consciousness. No change happens. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
See, whether the universe exists or the universe resolves, what happens to consciousness?
It's
nothing.
But why do they say Bhagwan ki Maya or Bhagwan ki Lila?
Don't talk about what others say. Only understand what is said in the class.
That is a proverb, not Bhagwan ki Lila.
That is why when you look at the whole universe as manifestation of heart, it is Bhagavan's Leela.
But then that Leela is also part of the Maya. But you're saying Maya is unmanifest. But we say Maya is a manifest.
Maya manifest is your universe. Maya manifest is universe. Power of knowledge called Maya manifest is universe.
Power of knowledge manifest is
knowledge.
Yeah. Can manifest is ignorance or
mind.
But they're both
have. Okay, let me tell you. Don't go and listen to all the nonsense stories and come back and tell me. Listen. This is why I particularly took up this topic, because this is not really here with you people. All over Jagat, wherever I go and teach, these people have all these confusions. I repeat, I tell you, Maya, people mistake it, Maya as a illusion. No, listen. Maya means, Maya is a name given to the power of knowledge. And why the power of knowledge is called Maya? Because there's no such a thing called power independently outside of knowledge. Therefore, it is called Maya. That which is not independently is called Maya, Masa, Maya. Okay, you can never count the power of knowledge something independently as a second thing. That which is non-countable independently as a second reality is called Maya. See, why it's called Maya? Because it is non-countable as a second parallel reality. That is why it is called Maya. You can ask the question, why the power of knowledge is called Maya? Because it is non-countable as a second parallel reality. Why it is non-countable? Because it has no independent existence. Understand, that power of knowledge, manifest is called knowledge. The same power of knowledge, if it is not manifest, if it is unmanifest, is it clear now? Unmanifest is Maya. That is why avidya, maya, prakriti, pradhanam, all different words are used to mean unmanifest power. You use the word Maya to mean the unmanifest power.
So like a seed. Example, like the seed is Maya, is the unmanifest power of the plant, right?
Don't go for seed.
You have given us this example once.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Grubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. See tomorrow 9 o'clock your time.